for the American Pastors Network. I, of course, am Keith Wiebe, your host, MC for this. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer in just a moment before I turn it over to Sam to introduce our guest to us. He knows him well, has spent a lot of time working with him, and I think will be just great information that we'll be receiving. And as I thought about that, I thought about a couple of verses from Proverbs 24. I have used these before on one of these leadership calls, I believe. But verses 2 and 3 and 4 of Proverbs 24 say, "By wisdom a house is built, by understanding it's established, by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." There's wisdom, there's understanding, there's knowledge. There's wisdom that, of course, comes from God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There is understanding that comes, I think, from the application of that wisdom. And then there's the knowledge. And I see that as the day-by-day responsibility to stay abreast of the facts, keep up with what's going on, be alert, receive good information. And that's really what we are about here this morning. I'm very excited to have with us Peter from Gallagher. And Sam will give him a formal introduction here in just a moment. And he and Sam are going to talk with us about what they offer and then give you a chance to ask some questions and gain the answers, perhaps, that we trust this conversation stimulates in your mind. Let's begin. Let's pray together, and then I'll turn it over to Sam. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us wisdom. You have promised when we lack that we should ask, and we frankly always lack and should often ask. Thank you that you show us day by day how to apply that wisdom, even as you did so often for Solomon. And then thank you, Father, for men like Peter, who help us with knowledge and understanding and information that we need to be productive, to be effective, to be fruitful in our lives and in our ministries. So would you bless our conversation today? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sam?
All right. Well, thank you, Keith. And I want to welcome everybody to the call today. And we have folks continuing to call in. So I'll welcome again at a moment here. Let me just say at this point, even before I get into things, if you are at a point where you can access your computer, please do so. And I'd like you to take and it'll make the call far more productive. If you can do this, go to a website called apnbenefits.com. And I know we put that in an email. Hopefully you got that. But again, go to that website. That's where we're going to walk through here in just a moment. And it'll facilitate things a great deal if you can actually be looking at the screen. And then we'll kind of walk through, and that'll then permit the ability to make the Q&A and what we're saying perhaps more effective. So that being said, let me just lay out the reason for this, and I'll just give you some background very briefly, and then I'll introduce Peter in the process, and then we can walk through that. This whole thing, as we're talking about here, is called APN Benefits. Again, that's apnbenefits.com. That is the site. That site is now a composite of benefits, things that we'll go through there, services that are geared to churches and or pastors in a very particular way, as well as a host of things that are services, discounts, and so forth that are available for church people in the pews, as well as for organizations, schools, and anybody who would be a part of that would utilize this entire thing. It was about 18 months ago or so that, maybe longer than that now, maybe 2 years, that Peter and I first met. Peter Persuti, that's his name. He and I met at an event. A mutual friend of ours invited me to come. That's where I met Peter. And became familiar with what the company Arthur Gallagher was about, and I found within Peter, who leads there. And Peter, I don't want to give you the wrong title. You can clarify it, but he's head of the nonprofit and religious practices section. It's in a marketing and sales area, reflecting what they're doing with that company, which is a large company. But he told me what they were doing in providing services across the entire breadth of certain financial things, life insurances, a whole host of things. And the more I found out about it, the more I said, wow, that's pretty deep and pretty broad. And matter of fact, the kinds of things that that churches, nonprofits generally, but churches specifically, and Christian schools, that kind of thing, anything that's involved in any kind of religious activity, they're the kinds of things that they need. And I found within Peter someone who had a heart for what we're doing as a as APN and the focus, and I found within him a willingness to try and help us. And out of that then came, well, what can be done to help us as a network provide something to churches, to pastors, to people in the pew, to those who are listening to our radio programs, now beginning to watch our TV programs. What can we provide to them, something that would help them in their stewardship of their funds, meaning that they could do things that they would normally do anyways, but perhaps do it in a better way, better service, at a lower cost? What could we do to help pastors and churches, many of whom are not the mega churches, but the churches in the 400 on down range, that may not have access to group type of benefits, be that an insurance or anything else, and help them to have access to things that they otherwise would not. So our intent was to say, my intent was to personally say, boy, if we could as APN provide something that would be a platform of benefit across the spectrum of those who listen, those who are in their churches, help us spend our money wisely, knowing that that's God's money, be more efficient in that, and get better results, then it would actually make sense to do so. And it was that idea that Peter bought into, and over these many, many months, we have walked through a long process of putting together a package of items that we'll go through in just a minute as a way of now offering as a way of helping those who are you know, are familiar, want to be participants of, a part of our ministry, our focus, standing for truth, wherever they may be. That is a long intro to just something that is what's now before us, that's taken some time to get here, but I'm really very glad at what's there. So again, if you're just checking in right now and signing in with us, if you can't access your web, your computer, go to apnbenefits.com, and we can walk through that. So with that being said, let me introduce right now Peter Persuti. He's one I've been talking about. He's with Arthur Gallagher. Peter, tell us just a little bit about yourself, sure. Why you're doing what you're doing, if I have not said it completely, repeat whatever you want to say, and what your intent would be, what your hope is as a result of APN Benefits, and then we can begin walking down through the site.
Oh, thanks very much, Sam. And, you know, I'm impressed with your leadership. Everything is about leadership, whether it's the individual or a group or a cause, if you will, that we might be representing. But I've been impressed with the nation sense of your group. You know, I sometimes think of Jim Collins in terms of the quality of the organization. I think the future fitness of the organization is probably going to center really around much more networking, and hopefully we can talk about that, whether it's your community, it's a group like this that can have some kind of leverage or some kind of intel. At the end of the day, you know, we as Gallagher are consultants, but personally, you know, I listened to Keith in the opening words, and interestingly enough, I immediately went to the Koine, or in my case, the Attic Greek. I am a classicist by education, so I pursued my PhD and really thought, you know, after years of archaeology work and topography in Rome and Athens and in Israel, that I might want to be a professor. But there's a pragmatic side to me somewhere that says that I want to solve problems. And quite frankly, taking a Greek text that is the New Testament and putting it into English is solving problems, if you think about it. It's we have to understand. My particular literary genre was satire. think of how difficult that was when it's like the Bible. How do you interpret and understand? And what did it mean for the society of the time? And, you know, you're supposed to laugh when one of my authors was Juvenal, a Latin writer. And, you know, it's hard to laugh when you don't, you know, jokes are, I have a handicapped son that we adopted from Romania, and he has trouble with that sort of nuance, for example. So it's an interesting thing. And by the way, it was the Christian church in Romania that helped us do what we do. It was an unbelievable experience in 1990 when Ceausescu was deposed. So, you know, I come from an academic background. I was in independent schools. I taught Latin and Greek, coached, and just yesterday was just dumbfounded by a scathing report that came out of one of the schools I was associated with. It's obviously on the misconduct crisis, and I hope I can talk more about that, not to scare everybody. It's everywhere. It's in the front page of the Tribune this morning on the Chicago Public Schools. The Chicago Tribune is beginning to think that it's investigative, and if you want to think about what they just did the whole Bill Hybels thing, and it's a client of ours, Willow Creek. And so I want to talk about that. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to present an opportunity. Remember, risk has both the downside, what should we not do, but there's also the upside. And in fact, the church, you know, with yesterday's breath of hope in that Supreme Court decision, mm-hmm. I can't help but I'm a half full glass type of person. But so I went many years, I studied leadership. One of my greatest days was, and God rest his soul, but was spending Peter Drucker's 90th birthday and having Bob Buford at my side. Mm-hmm. I got to know Bob a little bit, and he inspired me, you know, in terms of he went the opposite way. He started in the for-profit and made his way, you know, to the nonprofit. And I was nourished by his missives. He was an early blogger, and he recently passed away, and there's a service coming up in this month in Dallas that I hope to attend. But I clearly saw, I'm supposedly a networking person, they say, but I saw the connection between the nonprofit, the mission-based world, and the corporate world. I, for some reason, at one point in my life, had an opportunity. I had a board member at one of my nonprofits who was the vice chairman of EDS in Dallas, and so there was a call to come work for Ross Perot, and I'll never forget that experience. I learned technology. I'm probably one of the most advanced. In fact, I would say that the whole backbone of the Roman Catholic Church's response to the misconduct crisis is technology and a Latin word. You can see who had a input on that, and I'm proud of it. Virtus.org, V-I-R-T-U-S, but it is training millions across the world. Again, training isn't the answer. We've got to change behavior, but it's part of that changing of behavior. But and so I eventually went into academia at the college level, became an academic dean, but eventually made my way to Munich Re, which is a reinsurer. And the first thing I saw living in Princeton, New Jersey, where I actually started an all-boys faith-based school that I'm very proud today, has 220 boys, pre-K through 8, and is a phenomenal success story. So again, I certainly want to do good as well as make a difference. And so, but I was at a reinsurer, which again, I, like you, I said, well, what's the RE? I'm a linguist. What's the RE in front of insurance? What's that all about? But they said, you know, Peter, you seem to understand we're the reinsurer for faith-based and nonprofits. We specialize in that, even though we're the largest reinsurer in the world and we reinsure, you know, Wall Street and, you know, United Airlines. We also have this special place in our heart for nonprofits and especially the church. And so I began to become a consultant there, chose not to become president of a faith-based school. I thought my path was that way. And the rest is history. The past 20, 25 years, I have been leading in the insurance world, going from the reinsurance side in Princeton to the brokerage side in Chicago, which, you know, leads into this question of who is Gallagher. But you could see that my background is very different. I'm a change agent inside of the company. You know, you talk about, I really feel like Gallagher, which is 26,000 employees around the world. We have hundreds here today for the week for the intern. The college interns are in. Their hopes are that someday they can work at Gallagher. We're trying to build the future of our workforce, just like you're challenged by workforce issues, so are we. And I get to be the catalyst for change, for networking, for collaboration. Let me just mention something that I just finished last week, an exhausting global experience, but so worthwhile. If you go to ajg.com, and remember, ajg.com is going to be the home site of Gallagher, AJG, Arthur J. Gallagher. We go by Gallagher now. We're just in the midst of that major branding. And in fact, if you ever watch the Cubs, Chicago Cubs, you will notice in the outfield, Gallagher as a major sponsor. We are the broker for the Chicago Cubs, their property casualty, their assets, their properties, and their people, their benefits, and their retirement, their 401k programs. And so we also, though, are a corporate sponsor, just like we are with APN and trying to form a partnership. And so when you're at the Cubs, you'll see Gallagher as a brand. The Gallagher Way is outside Wrigley Field. And, of course, we're the sponsor of the major rugby program in the UK, and I just watched the Indy 500 where I think our Gallagher car came in 20th. So, you know, we're not that well known, but again, we have 26,000 employees. We're about $6 billion in revenue. We have a number of divisions I'm going to talk about within our company, but we're also a stock, AJG, publicly traded, has had about a 22% rate of return over the past year growth. And so it's doing very well. It continues to grow. Probably when I came here from Princeton, New Jersey to Chicago 15, 16 years ago, we were maybe 8,000 people, and I just said we're 26,000 people. One of the joys, by the way, of being here is we acquire, the way we grow is typically we acquire an agency. I just had a conversation with a Los Angeles agency, agent, brokerage, insurance agent, whatever you want to call them. She's an attorney, and she's 40 years old, and she's excited about coming into Gallagher. She says, Peter, I want to start affordable housing. That's my expertise, and I just do it in California. I want to do it in all of the U.S. I said, well, you know, we, part of the maturation of our nonprofit practice, if you will, I run both nonprofit and religious, is that affordable housing is like a little ecosystem in its own, just like social service, just like, you know, services for the handicapped. How about cultural institutions? Yesterday, we were appointed broker of the San Diego Symphony. We just got the brokerage of the Lincoln Performing Arts in Manhattan. So we're large, we're big, and yet we're also deep in terms of building these verticals, these centers of excellence, of which I oversee in religious. And so I come to it, you know, having been in these sorts of institutions, having been on the reinsurance side and now on the brokerage side, I often with Sam would start with a question, Sam, what's the difference between an agent and a broker? In fact, a broker sounds like they trade stock, and obviously that's not what we do. What we broker solutions on behalf of our clients. And so you are a church. You need a property casualty, workers' comp, crime, fiduciary, all of those lines, errors and omissions, sexual misconduct, auto, all of those coverages, boiler machinery. We go out into the marketplace. Now, the way an agent might go out is the agent would say, I represent Brotherhood Mutual. Let me go and get a solution for you in Brotherhood Mutual. That's a carrier. As a broker, we will go to multiple carriers. It could be hundreds, dozens, whatever, and try to cobble together the best portfolio for you. Perhaps not try to leverage maybe with one, whether it's Church Mutual or it's Philadelphia or it's, I noticed today, Charity First, which is a Gallagher division that's under me, it was promoting its church program. So I would say the great thing is that there are zillions of solutions out there for the church. I'm so excited that carriers and companies want to do good, want to get involved in the church. They obviously see profit there, right? Despite, you know, my meeting last week with the New Zealand diocese where you know, their earthquake, they spent $2.8 million. And I'm like, every year that goes out of their coffers into the reinsurers. But let's think about what happened in Christchurch. Thank goodness they had coverage because it was $155 million of loss. And again, how do we rebuild that, et cetera? So that's a little bit about me. I'm married. I have two children, one of whom was a remarkable experience through a Christian network to adopt him. But our other son, Justin, is a parent himself of, he and his wife of two girls in Minneapolis, and I'm proud to say he's an economist, a CFA, and works for the Margaret A. Cargo Philanthropy. So he's actually on the investment side of an $8 billion brand new Margaret A. Think of that philanthropy. She never married, befriended the Episcopal. I noticed an Episcopal bishop on their board, but she passed away and left her entire, remember, Cargill was the largest, one of the largest privately held companies in the world, and left that for philanthropy. And that's just begun maybe in the past 8 years to put forth a program with the American Red Cross, with the Native Americans, whatever her wishes are. And it's just another great story of all the, you know, the tailwinds we at least have behind us as we go forward in our stewardship pursuits. I hope that helps, Sam. Does that kind of get everybody grounded, Keith?
Well, I think it gives a good background, Peter. I think it really does in the depth of the company. I would like, if we could, if everybody could, if you have it, I'm going to assume you have the website up in front of you, apnbenefits.com. If you do, I want you to go to the home page. And look at a couple of things. We're not going to go into all of these elements here in depth, but just cover them, and then we can come and talk about it in some Q&A. First of all, I want you to look at it here is that this is set up, if you can see, benefits. That's what the whole thing, benefits, discounts, and that's the theme that kind of runs through it. You'll see members. You'll see pastors and churches. And if you look on there, on the top where it's members, pastors, and church benefits, I just want to say that there's actually two parts of this, and I mentioned at the beginning. There are things here. If you look down there, discounts for members, there's two green buttons in the middle, discounts for members, learn more, additional discounts for pastors, learn more. Those are really kind of like two legs. The discounts for members really is for everybody. But there are things there that are more for people perhaps in the pew, put it that way. Although churches and schools, anybody is involved in any kind of, you look at it there, you'll find travel, hotels, rental cars, there's a whole host of things that are there, wellness programs, other things, Office Depot, pet insurance, single care, American Hearing benefits. You'll see on that page all of those things are available for anybody individually who come into this and access it through this site. Now, on the other side are the church benefits and discounts. So if you just go back to the home piece, then go down and bring up there, learn more under additional discounts for pastors. If you go there, you will then find an entire breakout of really almost every service or benefit or utilization that could be used by a church. Now, what we've heard from a lot of pastors and others, some business managers from churches I've been talking with and we've had previous discussions with, when they've looked at that, one of the first responses is, wow, that's a lot of stuff. And matter of fact, that's really laid out fantastically well. And matter of fact, I never ever saw a list quite like that, so comprehensive, all in one place. And a lot of the comments we've had is that that's a fantastic roadmap. Because for many people in mid-sized, smaller churches in particular, they don't know what they don't know. I mean, we're all in that category. And so the kinds of things that are here are things, for instance, that many would say, I didn't even know something like that was available. I didn't even consider perhaps that maybe I ought to be thinking about having some involvement in this. And so anyways, that's kind of the overall view that we have had. Now, once you get into that, there are questions that people have. And so on the top, if you go back onto the very top of that again, it says FAQ. That FAQ are frequently asked questions. It has only 8 of them on there right now, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but you can scroll through them as we chat. Those questions relative to who is Gallagher, you know, can I use some of these things, or am I locked into using all of them? That kind of a question. Those are here. These would represent some of the questions that have come from some previous meetings. We've put them there. So if you go through that first, it'll help to answer a lot of the questions when you get down in. Now, I want to go one other spot before I go back and out of Peter. Down at the bottom right-hand corner, you'll find Become a Member, Join APN Benefits Now. And it says it's free. Okay, that's what that means, is that there's no cost to do this. But if you go in there and you just open that up and you put in your email address, first name and last name, and you join, really all that is you're just getting on that email list. What that will permit then is for when there are changes to what's on the site, when there are updates to what's on the site, when there are things that we would want to send out or Gallagher may want to send out that would be specifically helpful for new things or changes, we know who to get them to. So that's really what that is for. We tried to make it as easy as possible, but that's what that represents. So in a nutshell, that is what's here. And I'll just say one other thing, and then I'm going to go back to Peter. The items that are on here, be it on the category that would be like the travel benefits, the hotel, all that kind of business, that kind of thing, or on the church side in particular, these represent the items that Peter and Gallagher have been making available to lots of other churches or religious organizations, piecemeal or perhaps pieces here and there, but they are on this site because they represent either the core aspect of what Gallagher's doing and what churches need and or could use, but they don't represent curiosity pieces. They really represent the things that have actually been producing the best results and perhaps most utilized. Now, I guess there is one other thing. We personally in the office here at APN have been attempting to use and experiment with the things that pertain to us. So in the things like the travel, the hotel, and all of that kind of thing, we've been using things like Expedia and so forth internally, which generally give you the best results. We've been doing that, and we've been now comparing against what we can access through this site. And actually what's accessible through here gives us about a 10%, our experience, it could be more for the people, but gives us about a 10% savings for everything that we've done. And you'll find some testimonials as you walk down through where people are actually saying the same kind of thing. And, of course, a 10%, as an example, goal benefit savings for a budget where there is, whatever that may be, insurance or travel or whatever, that becomes a great benefit stewardship-wise, because now those monies are available to be spent on the mission of the local church or whatever it may be, the organization that's using it. So we have a good experience with actually doing it, and that's what's kind of represented here throughout. Now, all right, I've rattled here a little bit, but I tried to give an overview of how this is laid out. Peter, walk through just a little bit on the benefit side to the pew, if you could briefly. Just take just a few minutes on that. Then I want to go specifically to the church side and look at that list with those who are on the line today.
Yes, okay. Thanks, Sam. Interestingly enough, I'm having some connection problems. I have no idea what it is here. I'm supposed to be Mr. Technology, but I've got enough in my head, quite frankly. But the member discounts, the first part of the APNbenefits.com is actually built by an affinity expert group. And what's an affinity expert group? Well, it's an acquisition, and in fact, Gallagher's made multiple acquisitions of affinity providers, if you will, whether it's in purchase of services, or it's in travel, or if it's in procurement areas. And interestingly enough, the Affinities Group biggest expertise is the nonprofit sector, because it does it for like AARP, it does it for associations of chiropractors, and so all of these, and so they fit underneath that vertical that we call nonprofit. And so what they do, though, is try to harness their ability of the membership, again, gets to that group concept and leverage that Sam talked about. How can we as individuals out there benefit from some connection, if you will? And so that group, that's their expertise. And, you know, whether it's working with, for example, a group of Christian schools and their teachers and getting discounts for their supplies, to even approaching you know, wellness firms in terms of accessing that. And so that's where even you can give us feedback about what might be other services, whether you as a pastor or your members as a congregation. Think of the different needs you've got. You've got Office Depot, for example. Extending this out to your community there, it would be a great thing, because it gets tracked as APN and you get discounts and that transactions that's happened on the backside, obviously a percentage of that is coming to the Gallagher Affinity team, if you will. And so that's sort of the backbone, and they're the ones that of which we've been creative in terms of pioneering with you to try to find a way to create a gateway to a portal to other resources, whether it's a help desk or it's just a point of contact. Can I ask somebody? And that's tricky for us in terms of, you know, you kind of hear that we're big, and it's funny because we used to be very small. We started in 1927. We're in our 90th year, actually, and part of our history was starting in response to a tragic church school fire in the city of Chicago that led to our actually gathering all of the hundreds of parishes and schools and ministries and charities that were underneath the Archdiocese of Chicago that had this tragic fire, lost over 100 lives. You can Google Our Lady of Angels and Our Lady of Angels fire. That actually was a turning point in terms of our history and really figuring out how do we pool. So today we pool schools, we pool municipalities, we pool special districts, we pool churches, all of the United Methodist churches in Mississippi. I have to pool on their property casualty side, because those tier one schools or churches on the coast can't afford it. And it's not, they have to somehow be part of a portfolio. They have to be protected by tier three schools, if you will, and tier three churches, if you will. And so we have this interesting history and legacy that was around a crisis, but led to pooling and grouping, if you will. And the fascinating thing is, in some ways, I feel as if we're on that call and that edge right now in terms of what we just witnessed in Puerto Rico. They don't have much insurance. We just sent a team down there. We believe with the opening up of the FEMA to houses of worship that they may be able to recover $1.2 billion. And recoverables, if they can just, and so we're down there trying to make sure we get the claims, and they don't seem to have an insurance program. You know, some of the parishes may have, there are in the tents of the Catholic Church, we're working with the Catholic Church in Puerto Rico, which has got the attention of the Pope, by the way, the Episcopal Church in Jamaica, and in Puerto Rico, though, parishes would do whatever they wanted to. Well, there are six dioceses. Imagine the number of parishes in each of those dioceses. So the concept of group of pooling is definitely going to be the only way, just as we've done in New Zealand, is going to only be the only way to survive. And so how can we bring that group concept here? And obviously we started with this backbone, which is our affinity program. They do it for so many, and they keep expanding it in terms of negotiating further. It's kind of like they're sort of an Amazon, if you will, in terms of trying to find discounts that will, again, inure to the members and make APM a more valuable proposition. But when we think about it, We have pastors. We have their institutions. We have them. Think of all that you represent. We have the institutions that they serve, and from a stewardship perspective, how they need to be protected. And then we have the people they touch and the people that they draw and all of their needs. And so the idea that you can make this available through the APN is really part of what we try to do. What we did from that then, and maybe I'll just pause for a second on the member discount side in terms of if there's questions or if there's what you've looked at and you see something or have a question. Sam, just pause for a second there.
I'm going to take the mute off here and just open it up and see if anybody has any question at this point.
On the member discounts, yeah.
On the member discount side of the equation. Anybody have any question on that? Okay, let me just put it on that, and then I can see if anybody's name comes up here. If you have any question, let me see. Amy, I do need to know from you. How do we get into that? What's the access here? I forgot the... I'm just going to open it up right now and rather than have you just put a number in there. If anybody just has a question, you just want to speak up, just go ahead right now. Anything at all that you would have that would be a question on the membership side, on that left-hand side of the screen primarily when you open that up on the apnbenefits.com site.
Okay. Well, you know, again...
This is Jim Bertel. I just want to know you what has been said so far is clear here in Arkansas, okay?
Thank you. Very good. Appreciate it. And so with that portal then of this affinity, and again, come back to us with other things you'd like to see us maybe negotiate on your behalf or that are repetitive things or things where you think, you know, we might be able to help make a difference. But what I did then in the creativity of our global practices, and we're pioneering here, how do we, so if you're asking me how many times have you done this, you are our pioneer, and that's okay. We create every day. I'd like to think that I'm the chief innovation officer for our religious practice because we must continue to change. We must continue to build the kingdom in new ways and use the resources and think about the duty of care. And I have a duty of care just as you have a duty of care as a pastor. And so, in fact, I have an internal flock that is talent that needs to be mobilized, that needs to be trained, that needs to be educated, and that needs to be engaged. And so ideation as a concept is very important internally in terms of letting folks from Little Rock or some of our locations in Arkansas even lift up ideas of what they're seeing out in the field. And so what we then did is we looked at our pillars of excellence, if you will, internally. What are we as Gallagher? You know, we are a consultant. We're in the insurance business. We're not an insurance carrier. That would be foolish for us to take risk because, number one, it would put us in a conflict situation. We're representing you and trying to find risk-bearing solutions or risk partnership solutions. Many of our pools ultimately take risk and reclaim some of those dollars from ministry by retaining risk, but they do that as a large group purchasing, and that's exactly what the Archdiocese of Chicago did after the Our Lady of Angels fire, primarily because that little school and church did not have enough coverage, obviously, for the lives and the suits and all that happened as a result of that. And so these are just some of the areas, church governance. We acquired a firm in Minneapolis. Dr. Jim Rice leads it. And while their expertise is primarily in the hospital space, Jim he's worked for NGOs all over the world, quite frankly, and has been involved in grants that deal with solving world problems. And so I just had him last week. Remember I was about to mention this global event last week. What happened last week? It was specific to one denomination. We actually invited the global church. So if you go to ajag.com/convocation, calling together, what you will see there is an event that happened in Minneapolis. It brought over 200 people together. It included all of the services of the carriers from Lloyd's of London and Church Mutual and the Humana and United Healthcare based in Minneapolis and Humana and Aetna. And it brought all of the misconduct providers. It had a person from the Vatican speaking about protecting children, 44 workshops, three plenary speakers. I led this whole thing, I was absolutely taken off my feet when the opening plenary was an active shooter expert, and he actually simulated, scared the, you know, it was quite a start, but he had an irate person walk in the room. It was all a demonstration, but you know the reality, and we face it at Gallagher. Our clients have active shooter. We have active shooter. Obviously, if we're working with 20-some-odd thousand nonprofits around the world, we do have that, and we have them in our municipalities, and we were the broker for the Broward schools that just witnessed it. So, but it scared me a little bit in terms of being there and trying to figure out, was this an irate or was it an act? And obviously it ended up being an act, but we never know. But let me make a comment about that global event. We did it and we funded everybody from Guam. Think about, if you've been reading about Guam and the Catholic Church, you've been reading about scandal at the cardinal, the archbishop level. We brought in Guam. We brought in New Zealand. Remember I mentioned they came in and then came down here to Chicago. We raised over $220,000 through all of our corporate sponsors. We had a firm do a workshop on sensors they can put out in the enterprise that determine flood potential, atmosphere, wetness, break-in, whatever. It's Harvard Steam Boiler, which is a great B&M boiler and machinery firm. And so you can access there. All of those workshop slides are all online because it was a paperless event. There was no screens, no projectors. Everybody had an iPad. We gave them one if they didn't have one. They went up to the cloud. They download the slides, and they were engaged in those sessions. So the active shooter one, it's all out there, the resources that are there. By the way, I was very impressed with your session. We want to help you do more of those. I was so impressed with the discussion that went on the last webinar you did. And so we're building out these centers of excellence, governance, and by the way, Dr. Jim Rice did a session that was really cool because it was on how do you build at your local church your committees, your finance council, your benefits committee, and what's the talent, and how do you find that? And it was quite an interesting session. Yes,
Peter,
go ahead.
Peter, why don't we, if we can here right now, why don't we go specifically to the church side of the equation?
Yep.
If people can, if you can bring it up on your screen, I just want to look at it. Again, there's too much here. I want you to take a look at those areas: protections for pastors, employee benefits, human resource services, as categories. Then you have that middle section, student, volunteer, and participant accident coverage. That's a whole section on what ought to be considered, what is available for any kind of activity, event that you may have, student involvement, what are all of that. And then you have a church governance piece in the middle that talks about help that can be provided in response to how things are laid out and administrated and so forth. And all of that. So each one of those, I want you to call attention to, each one of those has a contact point there beside each of them. If you look down through as a pastor or business manager, if you look down through and you see those areas, you have the availability to go and talk with and call that person, that contact that's to the right of that. If you have questions, you can say right now, I don't know if I need this or not, or tell me some information about it. All of those things can be done by those contact piece of information that are given right there. And what Peter was talking about he referred to a webinar that we had, and some of you may have been on that, where we talked about church security. Their firm were the first on the ground when they're in some of these shooting situations. Our churches are involved. We need to be thinking about security systems and how that should be. They have a lot of input that they can bring to bear on that to help and so forth. So all of that is involved in that. I want you to know that when you look at that, this is like a smorgasbord. There are these items. These items are on that table. They are things that you either can need, should need, or could use. And there's basic information about them, but there's a place to go where you can actually get more information about it. I just want to say that at this point when you're looking at it. And Peter, I know we could be going on here for a long time. Can I open it back up again and say for any of you who are on the call, and I notice some of you on here have been on before, so some of your questions have already been answered perhaps, but is there anybody new on the call that as you're looking at what this segment is, and you look down through that listing to say, "Hey, I don't know what you know about this or about that." Here's a chance to give Peter a direct question at this point and flesh this out a little bit. So, can I just open that up to anybody who may be listening right now and perhaps have a question? If you've not been on this previous calls that we've had and have a question, go ahead and raise it right now for Peter. Okay, and I noticed, Peter, that a number of those that I'm seeing on this list have been on with us before, and I know a lot of these things have been answered. So
I'm looking
for new things in particular here for people who may not have been with us.
Right. Again, I would love for those of you who then are familiar to test it, you know, to make an inquiry. I just had an inquiry from a ministry that straddles the U.S. and Mexico out of San Diego. It's part of a network, a global network, and it's an attorney who I work with who referred this organization onto us. And what they were asking me is, we need an assessment, an audit, or something. We don't know if we've got the right coverages. And of course, we can do that. We can do a Core 360, it's called, and provide that without a cost, for example. And so, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we also benefit from working with you. We learn from you. And so take advantage of this relationship to both see how it works, but also just see whether there's value for you as you go back to your local resources. Remember, Gallagher has more than 700 offices around the world. For example, I'm working on an opportunity right now for the entire Episcopal Church in Connecticut, the diocese. They pool all of their risk under one, and they're doing an RFP on the property casualty, auto, workers' comp, those property casualty lines. And, you know, and so we assemble a team. On the one hand, I'm going to have a team out of Hartford, obviously, that's part of our faith-based practice. But I also want to bring some of the best experts from around the world in terms of property exposure with the Nor'easters. I've lived in Connecticut. I've had a house severely damaged by Hugo years ago. So, you know, we're going to bring in risk control experts who can get out to all the facilities and use mobile apps to track, you know, things that need to be fixed. And so, you know, we've got the ability to really have a technology platform internally that allows me to lift up anything in the world. You know, one of the things that got lifted up to me while I was at convocation last week was the USC debacle that's going on with a gynecologist. You know, obviously we have tremendous expertise when it comes to sexual misconduct, just in terms of coverage, underwriting, but also mitigation of the risk, protection, safe environments, all of that stuff. You know, it's just part of our consulting practice and experience. And certainly, you heard me speak about it earlier. Well, I was engaged. You know, imagine that you've got 26,000 employees, and yet they know enough to come to the nonprofit, it's leadership. It's so easy to get to us. That's how efficient we are internally, how well networked we are internally. Let me, if you've got a browser there, go to travelwithgallagher.com. Travelwithgallagher.com. It's actually a link from one of the boxes that Sam referenced, namely, you've got this summer a group doing a mission trip in Ghana, or you know, doing something around the world. What an interesting division within our global group of companies. A team based in Columbia, South Carolina, that all they do are missionaries and relief sending and and you know, congregations going abroad, the International Mission Board relies on us for all of their short-term and long-term volunteers. But whenever my son, now 28, the adopted son, goes to Romania, which he does every year, he buys his insurance right here. He can actually buy it for himself, you know. So, and we want to make sure, you know, we're properly protected, both his medical as well as personal assets and his travel. Imagine, we have a whole team. So we acquired an agency. There are over 5,000 faith-based groups that we work with within this little operation here that's called Gallagher Charitable. So we acquired an agency, Adams & Associates. So it's an example of you know, the services that can actually be very transactional. You can go on and get coverage and not have to speak to anybody.
Well, I tell you, Peter, I mean, it's expansive, and I didn't even know that that was a part of it. I know Keith wanted to say something. Keith, you had a question, but we couldn't hear you. Are you there? Keith.
Well, there's a technical issue then, because you're open. The line is open.
Keith, are you there?
I want you to give some comment here if you can. Okay, try to open that up. Keith, are you there?
Or maybe the star six.
Well, I mean, according to what I have, you are clear to speak. Keith, try again there.
Maybe he can send you an email.
Well, he just texted me, and I don't know technically why we have an issue, because it appears to be clear here.
Well, I've been sort of talking about these pillars of excellence, if you will, that
yes.
Are displayed on this page, all of which, you know, when I look at the first one, I truly believe that our church is exposed in the human resource area. We're now beginning to see the impact of the Me Too movement in the way of employment practice claims and possible assault on our D&O policies, directors and officers. And, you know, to be able to just click, Nick Provancic is a very sharp producer. We call them producers, by the way. Consultants is another word. But Nick is based in St. Louis, very knowledgeable, but take an issue, a question you have. Obviously, you can go to your own consultant, but feel free to lift it up and see what advice we might give you on something related to the human resource side. You know, we have an entire division just in wellness and well-being, and how amazing that fits with the church in terms of the stewardship of our bodies, if you will, and it's just very, very impressive. Well-being is a very, very big part. We actually go ahead.
Hey, I was gonna say, if I could, Peter, I'm going to have Keith call back in and just see. But
okay.
Why don't you just for the sake of it here, and I don't think we're going to go all the way. Let's just try and wrap it up here in another minute or a few minutes here, I think. But if you could just highlight like you're doing right there the areas that would be within the church benefit side that you would indicate as being things perhaps that are very valuable that you have found that perhaps many churches are not aware but should be aware. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and I guess I have to start, if you think about us as a consultant in the, you know, sometimes we call it temporal administration. I call it stewardship in terms of, you know, we have to, everybody's asking about how do we protect our churches. We've done a pretty decent job protecting our schools. We're really afraid and we don't know quite how to protect our churches. And so you guys were very proactive in terms of, they don't even call it active shooter anymore. They really call it active assailant, because who knows what the next mechanism. Is it going to be a truck? Is it going to be a knife, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, even, you know, what that seems to be the hottest area. That's why it was a keynote speaker at our convocation that we just had. We've written a lot about it. There's a we just posted. I'll send you a couple of articles that we've just written here. But I you know, to me, there's never been a greater opportunity for the local church to partner with the community, and whether that's with other churches and the community or with just the first responders of the community, I believe that we're no longer going to be able to get away with either hiding behind statute of limitations or we didn't know. You know, I recently did a mock trial, and I had millennials on the trial, and they Googled everything, and there's no way that we cannot know. And so the litmus test is going to be, what did we do? What is our duty of care? We can never prevent everything. That's just, we're not a perfect world. There is evil. We all believe and understand that. And so, but the idea that we can identify in our community or in our congregation those talent and resources that really can help us build a coalition, because it's not about our church anymore. It's really about our community. It's about our society. It's about our
need and an opportunity as well, what you're saying. Peter, I want you to come back and identify the next two, if you can, just so we get a highlight here. Keith, are you're back on. Are you able to talk now?
I'm back on. Can you hear me now?
We are. Whatever.
Yes,
okay, go ahead.
Yes, we can.
Do you have some comments, Keith, here at this point, or some questions? I think to fill in what we've heard.
Yes. Yeah, thank you, Peter. Thank you. This has been excellent. What Gallagher provided, the breadth of it, yet the specificity of it for church members, for pastors, is just excellent. And I've worked with pastors throughout my entire pastoral life and see so many things there where there are needs today in churches. I guess a part of my concern, Peter, is that a lot of churches and pastors aren't aware of their needs. I'm thinking in terms of areas like church security, like background checks for people that work with children, about various kinds of danger and litigation and intrusion against which they need to protect themselves. I guess what I'm wondering, and you've done some of this already, but maybe you could bullet point for us, when it comes to pastors, what are the things that they might face where they might need some of these kind of things, and maybe they're not even realizing they need them, or it's crossed their mind that they haven't acted on it. I guess I'm trying to ignite a bit of a sense of need in some of our folks and just encourage them that you have some things available that would really be helpful to them.
Good, Keith, because I think that when you were off calling back in, we're on the exact same page, because that's just what I was asking Peter to do. Peter, give us that. Give us those prioritized items. Church security is where you were going when Keith was off. Go down and just give us a few more points. Don't build them out at this point. Just highlight them for us if you can.
Well, I think, you know, our pastors need relief in terms of they need to focus on their ministry. They need to rely, and sometimes they rely on misguided judgment. It's wonderful to have that local support, but quite frankly, you know, what is a consultant, a professional consultant, somebody who typically has seen this before or can apply a much broader application, even though we understand the unique nature of a jurisdiction, of a local community and the dynamics there. So, yes, Pastor, you want to arm yourself, resource yourself with local talent and local resources, but, you know, you've got to look beyond. And, you know, one of the things that scares me more than anything is, you know, knock on wood, we haven't had that here. Now, please don't develop that attitude and mindset, because most of these issues that are prevailing are latent, and they don't come out for a long time, and so we have to have sharper edges to our swords relative to realizing that safe environments is a very serious commitment. It isn't about what you see. You know, faith is interesting because it's not something you see. It's something that is a trust that we believe. And so we, you know, I don't know about you, just reading the paper, we realize that there's evil. And so what are we doing to to create that safety net, whether it's for our senior citizens or for our children or for, I mean, you know, the Chicago Public Schools. By the way, incest is terrible in our families. We see it doesn't get into the schools because they got torts and they're protected. And so to me, there's no greater opportunity for the church to be relevant and be part of the solution of coalition of community building and building safety nets. So it will continue to go on, and it will go on among our most trusted. This is the part of it that just even, you know, blows us away. We may even have people on this call who could possibly be perpetrators. That's just, you know, notice the edge I have on my, I have to have that edge. We want to trust, but we also understand what grooming and what maneuvering is all about. And it happened in ancient times. It will continue. And so we've got to be committed to creating safe environments, and however we define that. You know, when I used the word virtus in Latin, respect for the Catholic Church at the time, it meant excellence. It didn't mean safe environments. It means excellence in all that we do. You know, for example, one of the recent manifestations is bullying. How are we looking at that issue, for example? And I tell you, I struggled immensely with the Willow Creek Bill Hybels. I love him dearly. He has an amazing history, but obviously there's something wrong. And you know, I am not the judge. I'm simply, you know, as a board of elders, what do we do to respond, to listen? I mean, all of the people I know, Nancy Orper, I mean, we knew Jimmy, we know all these people, and for these people to be calling out, we have to have protocols in place in our churches, not to protect us, but to protect our legacy and our communities and our people. So I can't emphasize that enough. This is no longer something we can hide behind. You know, we've got in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, what's going on in our state, what we saw this week in Minnesota. I was just with the Archdiocese of Minneapolis and that settlement. I mean, this has been going on for years and years, and these dollars are being drained out. You know, today forward, you know, how do we make a commitment? This is, and in fact, it's a ministry. Think about your church becoming a ministry for safe and focused on that, and figuring out how to get out in the community. And you know, the fact that the Chicago Public Schools, and one of the reports today, they didn't do proper background screening. That just, I mean, background screening, I have to laugh at, because it's not the answer. But boy, if we don't do it, we're really going to be in trouble. It is not the answer, because certainly most of our perpetrators would never fit the, it's whatever, 4%. So I can't just say enough about just this healthy environment that we need to, and transparency that we need in our churches, and the ability for people to go somewhere to share something, whether it's anonymously. Remember that see something, say something? But boy, aligning with, you know, every time I meet with our Southern Baptist agencies, we were just in Birmingham at the Women's Missionary Union. I said to the leadership team there, could you invite the local authorities in from that are nearby? When they came, I noticed that they looked around the headquarters of WMU, and I'm like, have you guys not been here before? They said, no, we've never been invited here. I looked at them and I said, here's a teaching moment. In terms of, here are these resources right next door. You've not even connected with them. So to me, those are just the priorities. It's not about insurance. Right. It's not about buying more limits. And certainly you can get better coverages. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm trying to say to the church, again, these might be bigger churches, insurance is not the answer. We're going to have to figure out how to accumulate assets and dollars, and maybe mediate and arbitrate and minister. You know, I'm intrigued that some of these nonprofits are even going out and putting advertisements in the paper, say, do you feel like you've been aggrieved? You know, you're now in your 50s. Let us know. And just that alone, you know, creates, you know, a goodwill in terms of it doesn't become a lawsuit. So.
Peter, this is Keith again, and just listening to what you're saying now and the dangerous climate in which we're in. You mentioned the Southern Baptists, and we're all familiar with the recent difficulty with Dr. Paige Patterson, you know, a giant in terms of the convention and the way God has used him. But it just reminded me that we need all of our pastors, of even the smaller churches, and many of our pastors pastor relatively small congregations. But with the fact that on social media, virtually every word we utter outside of our house is likely being recorded someplace. And when we speak in preaching, we speak extemporaneously. And we need to choose words so carefully. And we need, you know, we speak seasoned with grace, as the scripture says. But then there is also the present day danger of things that happened 30, 40, 50 years ago that then didn't even raise an eyebrow. But judged by in today's atmosphere, all at once take on something totally different.
Yes.
And it's
yes.
in those areas. And when you mentioned the need for professional consultants, you know, when we worked out church security at our place, we have all kinds of folks. I live in West Virginia. We have all kinds of folks that are packing every week. But we didn't ask them to do the security. We asked the man who happened to be in our church, but he's a man who is a professional at advising churches on church security. And we need, our pastors need to take advantage of services like yours with the professional consultants who can bring into the conversation a perspective that's much broader than just what they're facing. So I just appreciate what you've been saying.
Thank you, Keith.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do too, as well. And I think and I think right now, I think we've covered enough. I'm looking at who is on the list here right now. I'm thinking probably, Peter, we may have gone sufficiently far right now with on this. For those who are on again, this was just to be an overview, and we've gotten into a lot of detail, which is helpful. But the point is, what is encapsulated in this site are things that have tremendous depth to them, as what you could hear from Peter. And they cover literally nearly every issue that we can think of that you as a church or a Christian school or an organization would have any reason to be involved with or to be thinking about. Is encapsulated on what's on that right-hand side of that page. That list of services and those people to contact are there to give as much depth on the front end or in the middle or on the back end of anything that we have found to be there. As an individual, you have everything on the left-hand side there that is accessible to you when you go through this site. Use it, begin to use it, and I would encourage those who are here that are involved with churches or in positions where you are decision maker, try to take what is on here now and look at what you're doing compared to what is on this list. Or go to this list and look and say what you perhaps are not doing, perhaps you could, and walk down through and use it as a benchmark, as a comparison, as a point of counsel and advice, whatever that may be. You will end up doing better, I think, what you're doing, perhaps more inexpensively, I would think, but I would say far better quality and a comprehensiveness with an assurance that what you're doing, in fact, represents the latest and the best information and the help that's out there. So that's how I would just kind of like to summarize it at this point and say, let's just let it there. You can come back to us, or you can go on that site and go to the contact points, names to the side. All this is a developing thing. We're adding some new things to the site. We're adding testimonies to it. We're adding other things as we're learning. We have not really, what I would say, officially big-time launched the site yet. This really today and the other meetings we've had have really been more, if you'd say, small focus group type settings, but what you think, what your questions are, and some comments of that type, which have been extraordinarily valuable. And that's really what today was for, and I think based on some of these things and comments that we'll get back and what we've done, we'll be in a very, very clear position soon to take and do this on a much larger rollout, and then we'll have some things we'll begin to fill in at that point. So any final questions from anybody that I may have not touched on or Peter didn't at this point, if you have any, raise them at this moment. Otherwise, we're going to go ahead and just let everybody go. Any questions or comments from anybody at this point? Okay, going once, twice, gone. Peter, any final comment from you? And then I'm going to ask Keith, if he could, to pray for us and then send us on our way.
No, just thank you for your leadership and your idea of trying to leverage and connect. Remember, it's all about connecting and empowering, and it's a form of stewardship in the 21st century. Look forward to this being an engaging experience, and you know, let's grow from here. Let's build it from here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Peter, for your time today. Keith, if you could just close us today, and then we'll be on our way.
Good. Thank you very much, Peter. Let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, we recognize the day in which we live, a day of great jeopardy, a day of danger, where pastors and churches and ministries and their people are concerned. It is also a day of great privilege, a wonderful privilege of being in the ministry of the gospel for those of us as pastors. The wonderful privilege, Father, of proclaiming light into so much darkness in our world. The wonderful privilege of having at our disposal tools that enable us to do that should be more effectively and in a broader way than ever before. And I thank you, Lord, for folks like Peter and Gallagher, who provide resources for us, who bring to us levels of experience and expertise that we lack, that enable us to be better informed and better equipped for the pitfalls, chuck holes in the road that might lie ahead of us. And I pray, Lord, that we will use these with wisdom, with understanding, knowledge. I pray, Father, that we will then be effective in the proclamation of the gospel, in standing for truth boldly in our pulpits and across our land. And we give you thanks for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody. Have a great day. And again, Peter, thank you so much. And I know your day is already filled. So
okay. God bless everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Peter.
Bye now.